friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. Here's a contemporary praise song, Our God is an Awesome God. Sing along with us. Remembering for now and the future. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thanks so much, Whit. Good friends, I hope you have a pencil. I want you to write down this scripture lesson so that you can read it later for yourself. The text is John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and then chapter 16, verses 4 to 15. John 15, 26 to 27, and 16, 4 to 15. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, I will send him to you from the Father. The Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the very beginning." And then starting with verse 4, "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Now I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen." Now, friends, this is such an important lesson for you and me today. And believe me, it was a critical lesson for those disciples that heard it too. Now, as you and I read the gospel lessons, we sort of become participants in the dialogue. I mean, it's something like we are walking alongside the disciples or Jesus and hear everything that's going on. We do not get a chance to speak, but we do get to listen. And I think the remarkable thing is that the things that we hear become appropriate for our lives today. Think what it must have been like for those disciples. See, in this lesson, Jesus is beginning to tell them that he's leaving. You know, John's description was that the disciples were speechless. Jesus said, "None of you even asks where I am going. Sorrow has filled your hearts." It was as though they knew if they said anything, if they asked anything, it would only prove that he really was going to leave them. You see, the disciples were still believing that if Jesus were to leave, let alone die, well then, the whole thing would be over. Everything would be lost. What would they do? Can you imagine all that Jesus taught these followers over the previous 3 years? Not only did he teach them, he also demonstrated everything that he taught. They were eyewitness to it all. Now, Now, I want you to understand that if it had not been for these verses and what they mean, it would have been all over. History is full of people who live good lives. But when they died, they became names in history books and subject of good stories and even sometimes philosophical debate. Now, the fathers of their Jewish faith were good and righteous men, but they were dead. These men had to study what they said and figure out how they could live under the old laws. Many of the laws were shaped by the culture and not necessarily eternal truths. They knew their names and respected their teaching, but they were only historical memories. What Jesus began to teach these believers was that unless he died and unless he was resurrected, they too would become chapters in history books stored away in some musty, dank, ancient archive of books and when only occasional researchers or curiosity seekers would find them. Now, I do not know how they could have possibly comprehended what he was trying to tell them. He was promising them that if he ascended to the Father, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit would be his presence with them forever. The Comforter would cause them to remember all that he had taught them in the past. They would know it in the present and in the future. You see, the Holy Spirit would convict or prove the world wrong. That is, the Holy Spirit would convince non-believers that Jesus was God's Son and Savior. And now get this, the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth and into the future of all truth. Now, it's important for you and me to understand that this means that the work of the Holy Spirit is to clarify and to teach what Jesus and God have already done and said. That is, you see, the Holy Spirit does not come up with some new and different truth on its own. It only teaches us what Jesus has already taught. Now, the big jump is for you and me to realize that these men and women to whom Jesus was talking were all, for all intent purposes, they were the church. They were the church then, and you and I are the church now. The promise of the Holy Spirit is just the same today as it was then, but you see, you and I must listen to the Spirit through study and prayer and worship. The Spirit descended on the whole church, not just on those disciples, not just on those disciples then, and not just on the Methodists or the Lutherans or the Catholics now. No, not on just one person either. No, the Spirit is for the whole church. Jesus told them that there was so much to teach that they could not even contain it if he were to teach them right then. Yet he said that the Holy Spirit would be with them to help them understand how to live in the future. Now, I want you to remember that the message is just as true for you and for me as it was the day he told it to those disciples that afternoon 20 centuries ago. Did you know that when John, the gospel writer, wrote those words, it was 80 years after Jesus said them? And in fact, the world was already different. The culture was different. The church was already facing new things, new everything. Several years ago, I was in Nashville, Tennessee at a conference with the United Methodist Men. And after the conference, my son told me about a local high school concert that he wanted me to attend. Well, it was a private Christian school, and it was called the Good Stuff Concert. Well, there are about 450 teenagers in the gymnasium, and it was a full-fledged revival for teens. But friends, I want to tell you that it looked nothing like the revival I attended as a teenager. It was a spectacular. The electronics for lighting and the sound were state-of-the-art, and I doubt any traveling nationally known artist would have anything more in the way of high-tech equipment than they could have found that night in that room. The flashing lights and brilliant sound and music to rock by, and I don't mean rockabye baby. Well, it was something I'd never experienced. The words, though, of the music were very scriptural. The young preacher was teaching scripture verses, and they were learning and saying them back to each other. He told them what it meant and gave them great examples on how to use them. Now, right in the middle of that concert, fresh hot pizza and Cokes were served. And I thought, boy, what would that be on Sunday morning? And it was all you can eat. I was so amazed. And at the end of the concert, though, the youth were invited to surrender their lives to Christ for the first time, and some to make a fresh commitment. I want you to know I watched at least 100 teenagers make their way to the front of that gym and pray and be instructed. The choir did not sing "Just As I Am." No, you know what they did? They started shouting and cheering for each young person who came and made his way to the front of the room to make that new step in the journey of faith. I found myself clapping and cheering too. Now, you know, just a few decades ago, I could not have imagined having an experience like that. I do remember that Neil played the guitar and we sang Jacob's Ladder. My heart was warm that night, and in much the same way those young people in that high school gymnasium had their hearts warmed. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would remind us and teach us and lead us into the days ahead. I remember so vividly several years ago I attended a luncheon at the United Nations in New York. It was a meeting to talk about our reconciliation project. Representatives from 14 countries were there. SFA is the delegate, was then the delegate to Nigeria. At the close of the meeting, persons were invited to share personal issues of faith, and SFA and his lovely wife Mary were sitting just across from me. He stood, a very distinguished-looking black man. He addressed our group. Almost verbatim, this is what he said. He said, "My wife and I will be retiring soon, and we will receive a lump sum retirement from the UN. We have sold our property here in New York. We have negotiated with the Ethiopian government for 200 acres of land. We are going to take all of our savings in retirement and go to Ethiopia. We are going to invest all that we have to build an orphanage for children." Now, friends, that room was silent. Then he said, "You see, there are 500,000 registered orphans in Ethiopia, but there are only homes for 26,000 of these children. We will not be able to house all of them, but we surely will be able to care for many." SFA said then, "God's Spirit seemed to remind us that since we have been blessed so much, we must now be a blessing to others." After the meeting, I spoke to his wife, Mary. She said, "John, when God's Spirit puts something on your heart, you must follow it." Now, I don't know where it came from, but you know, I distinctly heard a voice somewhere in my spirit. It said, "Remember, whatsoever you do to the least of these my children, you've done it unto me." And I would ask you, where is the Spirit leading you today?
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in?
Yes, John Wolfe, God's Holy Spirit is the instrument of God's love in this selfish, sinful world. We who follow the Holy Spirit, He leads us to put others above self. We praise God for that wonderful African couple who gave all of their retirement savings and investments for the orphans in Ethiopia. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love, and those surrendered to the Holy Spirit become Christ-like persons. May God's church be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. What the world needs now is love, God's love, Jesus' love. Please write us, dear friend, dear listener. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Do write us. You may email us, mhi@mindspring.com. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the dear Lord bless you and keep you.